Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris, what are we listening to?
Didn't we almost have it all? Whitney Houston. We can all look back with fond memories of Monday night when John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson all played a game together. Someday they'll play another game together.
I recall it was not so long ago that we were just waxing on about how great it was to have them all together.
Yeah.
And the key, I believe you said, the key was to keep it going for a nice stretch of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So was there Jazz out tonight against Detroit?
Yeah.
Was there any indication? I mean, so, you talked to him after the game.
Yeah. So I'm kicking myself on this one a little bit because I wrote a column that night about John Morant's return, and in the column there's a part in the column where I think I use the phrase that paraphrasing myself, that even with him back, the specter of absence hovers around Ja. The implication being that he's someone who just gets injured, and like it's all, well, you're always worried that there's going to be an injury because of the way he plays. And I had intended to include a couple paragraphs right at that point in the column about the injury he had during the game, because he knocked knees with a player and he limped a little bit, but then he kept playing. But then after the game, Taylor Jenkins gave no indication he was not planning to have Ja Morant for the next game and whatever. John Morant, after the game, like in the post-game scrum, right, he was asked about the injury. He said, you know, yeah, we knocked knees, just a little stinger, like no big deal.
Right.
There was no indication from anyone that John Morant was not going to play. And I decided, you know, this column's long enough and people are so on edge about injuries. This would be too alarmist to even bring this up. If he played through it, he never went back to the locker room.
What would you have said?
I would have said, you know, something like, you know, the specter of absence hovers around John Morant because of his propensity of style, and even in this game,
he knocked knees,
and you saw
a little more foreshadowing.
You know, I think I had some line about, you know, people, Grizzlies fans watch games with their breath half held now, waiting for stuff like that to happen, and here it happened, but it wasn't a big deal because he played through it. And then so based on context clues, a couple things that would jump out to me about this. One is that, you know, sometimes injuries look different the next morning than they do in the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Taylor Jenkins or John Morant were thinking about this as a missed game situation the night of that game at all.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you wake up the next morning and, like, I don't know, I'm guessing, but, like, you know, it swells up or it feels, right. you know, whatever. I think it looked different the next morning than it did that night. And if you look at just the history of the Grizzlies with every injury ever, it's always, well, we don't know. We're going to look at imaging and then we'll find out. And so I don't know.
I mean, What's your level of concern over this one?
I would think low because it's a contusion. A contusion is a bruise. And he played through it, and he seemed fine. And so I'm guessing this is a day-to-day situation, but that's strictly a guess. I don't know that.
It really was a bummer. Oh, my God. So no Ja tonight. We were feeling bad for Scottie Pippen Jr. He was relegated to 11th man.
I'm assuming he'll be back in the starting lineup, although they do have Marcus Smart back.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
How's Detroit?
Detroit's okay. One of my preseason predictions was that Detroit would double their win total from last season, which, you know, was only so bold because they only won 14 games last year. But I think that's looking good. I think they're going to more than double their win total. I think they're like 8-11.
They're 8-11, yeah. And they're in the play-in right now.
Yeah, they're a real competitive team. Now, Kate Cunningham has been out lately. I'm not sure what his status is for the game. He may be out again. But that team was better than their record last year. They added veteran shooters over the summer. They added a coach who actually wanted to coach, which is a big, big upgrade. They had to have a coach who wants to coach. And that team's playing really competitive basketball. And so that's not a game to take lightly, even if you have Ja Morant. And without Ja Morant, it's definitely not a game to take lightly.
I saw you tweeted something about the Jaren Jackson at 5 conversation. So I missed the conversation.
Like a national NBA writer or somebody had put out some stat about the Grizzlies, and this is like an argument other people are having. It's not like an argument I've ever had.
Right.
It's like, it was like, aha, see, when Jaren plays the 5, the Grizzlies have a really good net rating. And my point was like, the Grizzlies have a really good net rating when Jaren plays.
Right.
Not when he plays the 5, just when he plays. So 5, 4, whatever. But my thing with Jaren has always been, it's not what position you call him. It's just who he plays with and who he plays against. And so in some of these, like, people will cite like the Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark pairing. And in that pairing, a lot of people will call him Jaren the center in that pairing. I think it's sort of arbitrary who you call the center and who you call the power forward and what. Jaren's taller. That's, you know, like on offense, Brandon Clark plays more like the center.
Right.
And Jaren plays more like the power forward. Then on defense, maybe Jaren plays a little bit more like the center and Clark plays more like the power forward. But it's just sort of, Jaren is so versatile, you just play differently. You can play him with Brandon Clark, and the numbers are good. You play him with Santi Aldama, the numbers are good. You play him with Zach Edey, the numbers are good. The Jaren Edey numbers are actually better.
I was going to ask you about that, because I was picking up Peter at the airport last night at literally 2 a.m. So I set my alarm for 1:15 to get up and go fetch him at the airport. The flight was delayed out of Newark. Picked him up at 2 a.m. But on the way back, we were talking about the Grizzlies. And he said that both Pippen, Huff, and which you would expect, their on-off-court numbers are not great. And also Zach Edey's are not great. Is that true about Zach Edey's?
It depends on on Pippen and Huff, the answer is broadly yes. And I've sort of alluded to this over the course of the season. This is why I've said that Huff makes noisy plays, but that obscures sort of the totality of it. Like, I think he should be the fifth big. He's a good fifth big, but he's the fifth big.
And he's also a fun fifth big, which is not insignificant.
Totally fun.
Right? Yeah.
And I've made the point earlier in the season that the numbers with Pippen at point guard early in the season especially were not very good. I think that's gotten better, but it's still, but it's also like small sample. So I don't take like the lineup data as gospel necessarily, right? In terms of Edey, like, is he playing with Jaren or not? It's really sort of that. Like the Edey, the last time I looked at this, which was recently, and Edey hasn't played, so I assume this is all still true. The lineup data on defense, I don't remember on offense, it was sort of fine. But on defense, when it was Jaren and Edey together, it was 100th percentile.
Right.
When it was Edey without Jaren, it was like 30th percentile. He's good with Jaren. Everybody's good with Jaren. I think Edey's been good, but like, Jaren's a skeleton key.
Yeah. So one of the things, also, as I was going to the, I did not watch the Rockets a T-Wolves game, but I was listening to report on that game, and you may have, it appears you did, because you tweeted about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I find myself figuring out who I should be rooting for and against.
Yeah, that's really
complicated.
You know, that's really a choose your own adventure as far as I guess. You're fine either way. Just whatever your taste is on that one.
I guess my point is, like, right now in the West, the Grizzlies are. It is kind of amazing. They're only 2.5 games out of first.
Yeah. Do you want to close the distance with Houston or increase the distance with Minnesota? It's sort of like a, you know, half full, half empty kind of like
right.
personality test.
And also, do you believe that ultimately one will ascend and one will shrink, right? So my question is, who do you think is most real?
I thought there was more value in increasing the distance from Minnesota than collapsing the distance from Houston.
Because you think Minnesota will ascend I think and over Houston the course will of, decline.
Yeah, I don't know if the paths will cross, but over the course of the season, I expect it's likely Houston, they move towards each other in the standings a little bit, yeah.
If you were to...
Although I do think Minnesota has some real issues there. Like, if you ask me...
It's Julius
like,
Randle.
Of the teams that have underperformed...
Uh-huh.
Like, who do you believe in the most going forward? I believe in Dallas more than I believe in Minnesota in terms of, like, who's going to jump up and be the top three team that they were supposed to be.
Well, you can watch Minnesota now that you don't live in Minnesota.
Yeah, no, it's true. I watched that game on League Pass on my laptop. I could not have watched it in Minnesota.
And what did you discern?
You know, Dillingham was playing, and with Conley out, they need someone who can dribble and make plays. And Dillingham was pretty good. It was spotty, but he was making some plays. That team just needs point guard play, and they're relying now on Mike Conley, who's like 37, 38, and I think just will be injured whether he plays or not.
Specter of absence.
Specter of absence. But also, I think my sense, I've talked to some people, Conley's just hurt, and he's just going to play hurt. Right now, he's not playing because of some toe thing, but there's like other injury stuff he's just playing with, the way he has in the past with the Grizzlies. It's just not going to get better. So either Conley's old and hurt or unavailable, or Dillingham's like 20 years old and can't play defense. And those are the only point guards they have. And I think Randle mucks things up. Watching that game reminded me of how in I am on Amin Thompson and how out I am on Julius Randle. But the other thing is that...
How did Houston look? Oh, go ahead. The other thing is...
Well, the other thing about Minnesota is that Anthony Edwards is an electric scorer, but that is what he is. He is not a combo scorer playmaker like John Morant, like Luka Doncic, like those kind of guys. I think they need point guard play on that team, and I think that's a real issue for them. On Houston, Houston's really deep and really athletic, and they got lots of answers and good defense, but like they were kind of a mess down the stretch too until Şengün just started giving Rudy Gobert the business because they were just like dribbling up and chucking up bad shots and not running offense, and they sort of don't really have a point guard either. Right? Fred VanVleet's a really good player.
Right.
He's like a defense scorer guy. He's not like a real – they don't have someone who, like, I am running this team.
I was going to say, is there a pecking order on that team?
It's very unclear, you know. And I think their leading scorer, maybe Jalen Green, and he got benched down the stretch of that game.
If you were to – again, so much of this is based on injury.
Yep.
But if you were to forecast the West again now, the top six, just the top – give me the top six –
Am I
at the end of the season?
Am I going to say that the Grizzlies get their guys and have them for the majority of the season, or
whatever
not?
Whatever you get to say, based on whatever the specter of injury. Yes,
I think if the Grizzlies get their guys, not for every game, but for like say the majority of the games going forward, I think the Grizzlies are going to be a top four team in the West.
What's amazing? They're top four now.
This is what I'm saying.
It's crazy. This is what I'm saying. This is what you've been saying.
I think if the Grizzlies can get reasonable health, you know, I think they're a top four team. I think Oklahoma City is a lock, top four team. And other than that, that's the only team that I think is a lock to finish top four in the West. I don't think Golden State's a lock to finish top four.
The two teams ahead of them, Golden State and Houston, you're like, will they? But then
no,
their team's coming for you because there's Denver's, I mean, whatever.
If I had to pick four teams.
Dallas.
I can always change my mind in 20 minutes.
Of course you can.
I'm going to say Oklahoma, in this order, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Memphis, Golden State.
There you go. We did have the return of Kevin Durant last night. And they
beat that fraud of a Lakers team.
beat that fraud of a Lakers team. All right, a couple other things before we let you go. You once, and I don't know how long ago it has been now, you once did the definitive defense of Turkey as the Thanksgiving centerpiece.
I'm pro-Turkey.
It was in the face of the annual onslaught by Gary Parish.
It was a 6-point defense. It was like my Thomas Paine common sense of Thanksgiving.
I should find it and retweet it because it wasn't just, hey, that looks great, that's it. But if you can recall, however many of those points you can recall.
I brought it up on my phone.
Okay. Give us why the turkey
I'll do the very
is
quick,
the bird. Very quick, make this an annual thing.
The very quick version.
Yes.
Number one, tradition is a good thing. Thanksgiving is not just some other random. There's 365 days of the year. There's all kinds of holidays. Let Thanksgiving be Thanksgiving. The turkey is part of like making it its own special kind of day. And the fact that you don't eat turkey every day is a feature, not a bug, because it makes the day seem different.
Right.
Tradition is good.
Okay.
Number two, and this depends on how you cook it a little bit, but if you roast in a turkey in your oven like all Thanksgiving Day, your house smells great. And it engages the senses, you know. You want that smell and that aroma around the house, which you don't get from grilling a steak in 5 minutes, right? Number three, a lot of the problem with turkey is people don't cook it well. So, like, season your bird, brine your bird, get a nice brine. Just put more effort into the preparation. You can do better. If you don't like your turkey, it's because it's part of a
There's
you
no
problem.
Bad turkeys, only bad owners.
That's right.
Exactly.
Number four, accept the idea that this is, again, the feature of the bug thing. It's okay that the turkey is not – it's the feature on your Instagram photo, but it's not the feature on your plate, and that is fine. It's the glue guy. It's a little more bland, but that just lets, like, the mashed potatoes and gravy shine, the dressings shine, the yams, the mac and cheese, whatever you like. Let that stuff put up the shots, and turkey's the glue guy who sort of holds it together. That's fine. That's not a bug.
It's the Marc Gasol of the.
That's right. Number five, the day after Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, leftovers. Thanksgiving is not just about the Thanksgiving Day meal. It's about a 4-day extended weekend, and leftovers are key. If you're growing a steak, you're not getting good leftovers. Turkey gives you good leftovers. And then not everyone does this, but this is a recommendation of my part. You got to extend the leftovers. You got the sandwich the next day. You got to use the carcass and the leftover scraps of meat to make a soup or a gumbo the following weekend.
All right.
And then it's like a 4-day extravaganza.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. He raised this case. And then finally, because a lot of people might go see films this weekend.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's, but we don't have you. What's out there? What films should people see?
So
haven't seen anything and they're home with family and they want to go see a film or two.
So a lot of people are going to go see Wicked. A lot of people have seen Wicked and continue to go see Wicked. I still have not seen Wicked, but I will. It's a spectacle. It's very popular. People are into that. I saw Gladiator 2. I didn't love it. I'm not telling you not to see it, but I didn't love it. The only new thing actually opening this week is Moana 2, which is more of a kids movie thing. But some things that are still apparently in theaters. I'm looking at my Malco app right now.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. This is only at Oxford. Anora is only shown at Oxford. You can drive to Oxford and see Anora, but people aren't going to do that. But I think A Real Pain is still showing, which is the sort of, you know, the
trip through Poland.
Yeah, it's the
Jesse Eisenberg.
It's Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin and two cousins on sort of a trip together. That's a good movie. Conclave is good, which is out there. We Live in Time is still out there. That's a sort of a romantic comedy. Not a romantic comedy, but sort of like a romance, adult romance kind of thing. So those are some good movies that are out there.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Best to you and yours. Over at FanDuel, they're serving epic moments with America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets if you win. FanDuel app serves up all the ingredients you need to place live bets, same game parlays, and so much more. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid instantly. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S to join today. Again, $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Sam Hardiman joins the show next. Chef Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Thanksgiving. It's cold, man. It's been a little nippy, and that's a great time to get to O'Call. I don't talk enough about the luxury that they have. Luxury vests in cashmere at O'Call. Huge array of vests, multiple styles. Peter Millar, Barber, Steo, just to mention a few. I got a Steo jacket on right now. Tremendous selection of sweaters, hoodies, five-pocket corduroys from Brax and Peter Millar. There is no better place to do your shopping this holiday season, and I mean that, than O'Call. The shopping experience is joyful, honestly. It's joyful. You got the secret sauce, which is the people. They were there last Christmas. They were there the Christmas before. They've been there for more than 100 Christmases, and they'll be there next Christmas, too. They're not just staffing up for a busy holiday. They're the secret sauce. But the clothes are absolutely stunning. And just the idea of giving someone a beautiful cashmere vest for Christmas makes the heart glad. It is O'Call. Plus, by the way, they have, like, upstairs at O'Call, this whole department of people who do their alterations. Folks do the alterations, skilled workers, and it's free. The alterations are free. They're expert. They don't have to ship them out somewhere to be done. They do them right there at O'Call. It's like it used to be done, honestly, at O'Call. This would be a perfect time, whether it's Friday or any day this holiday season, to get yourself to O'Call. Joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian on Twitter or X at Sam Hardiman. We were texting earlier. He's going to be having a downtown Thanksgiving. Will a turkey be served tomorrow, Sam?
Yes, there will be turkey and duck.
And duck? How do you cook duck? Do you cook a duck?
I don't cook duck.
Do you like duck? I think duck is better as an idea than in reality. Is that true?
That's not true.
That's not true.
Just straight up the far better fowl, as I've said before here, than turkey. And people should just enjoy duck. I understand it's patriotic to eat turkey, but let's be honest. Turkey, if cooked wrong, can be very mid. And so we'll see
like
how
the duck.
Yeah. Yes, they're better animals. Like turkey, what purpose does a turkey serve?
Here's the thing: I always love the idea of duck, crispy duck. It just sounds like nothing sounds better than. Is it always served kind of rare? And I just can't say that I've ever had duck and said that's the best meal of my life or one of the tremendous. Jeffrey, what do you feel on duck? Weigh in on duck with me.
I lean to you. My wife loves it. I've never been, like, the world's biggest fan.
You're a big fan, Sam. Did you grow up with duck, or is this since you moved to the South?
It's not. It's just my wife loves duck, and she is a wonderful, wonderful cook.
Well, that's probably
and she's wonderful in many ways, but wonderful cook. And she makes an excellent duck and puts a bourbon glaze on it.
Sounds good. The key may be your wife. You know, that may be it. All right. You've had a lot of news since we last spoke. The truth of the matter is, when we last spoke, you teased the news that would be coming over at the Daily Memphian. And that bit of news, which was just later that day, last Wednesday, was the news about a new sales tax on certain items downtown. Tell me about that first.
Yeah, first, it doesn't exist yet. So everyone calm down. the city of Memphis would like the Tennessee General Assembly to pass this, what would be a single item tax. It would be on food and maybe some other items. It would not be on beverages, which is key. It would not be on event tickets, which is also key. here. We have kind of a very selective half-cent sales tax. So if you got a $100 bill, we're talking about 50 cents here, okay? And so that is what the city is proposing. They want the General Assembly to pass it. They need the city council to pass it after that. So this is taking a little while before anyone's, you know, pizza at Aldo's is getting more expensive. But what it is for safety and security and beautification downtown. That's what the mayor wants to spend it on. Mayor Paul Young has been sort of purposely vague, I think, as to what exactly he would spend the money on, how much money this tax would raise, likely a decent amount of money. And, you know, all of this is to make downtown, which I live in and, you know, walk every day, a better looking place than it is right now, and a safer place than it is right now, though it has gotten much safer, and we'll probably get that to that in a minute.
So if I'm going to the Majestic, let's just say, for a beautiful dinner, and they always do a magnificent job during the holiday season, looks beautiful and glorious and everything else, and they're festive, food's delicious, this would be a half a cent sales tax on the steak or the burger that I get there. But if I get a bottle of wine, there's no tax on that. That's the idea?
That is the idea. And it's very similar to what is the case in Nashville. And very interestingly, one of the things that's exempted from the Nashville tax here is newspapers.
Really?
Newspapers, because the Tennessee downtown, they are exempted. Their sales are exempted from this half-cent sales tax.
Huh. So, and obviously the Grizzlies wouldn't be interested in having a half-cent sales tax on tickets. So it's not going to add to your ticket fee. Okay. And when you say vague, it's not for cops, right? Like, what do we think this money, what's this money for?
It's not for cops. The city, any police officers coming downtown are being paid for through the city's general fund or other funds. They're not going to be paid for through this. This could be for the successor to the Blue Suede Brigade downtown. The mayor in our interview last week did not sound like he was sold on it would be the Blue Suede Brigade going forward. There may be a successor entity. And these are the security officers and people that are also seen picking up trash from time to time downtown. And so that's what it would pay for. There would be infrastructure potentially improvements. And by infrastructure, I mean the sidewalks might look better. There might be some handsome planters with plants that are replaced and they're befouled by something, right? This is what we're talking about, making the place look like it's lived in.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So then Friday you had a story about cops and proposed additional law enforcement resources downtown. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the city plans, and they already have these officers there. I see them pretty regularly now. Plans to add 24 officers sort of full time on FedEx Forum game days. And, they'd be coming out of the North Main precinct. There's not a new precinct. The city would be adding a new office section. The term is not precinct. It is some sort of satellite office that would go at 250 Peabody Place, which is right next to Beale Street. It's right next to FedEx Forum. It's between the Hooters and the Cigar Bar. And in that, beyond the place where that's where the cops would be stationed on game days, there would also be 9 full-time crime camera monitors. So 3 shifts of 3 around the clock. I don't know how they're going to do the 24/7 bit. People do need the weekends. But anyway, and they're going to be, the city is saying that these people, you're going to be visibly able to see the surveillance going on downtown from the street. So it's going to be kind of like a looky-loo situation where you're like going to be able to look inside the storefront and see the surveillance cameras being watched. Okay. And so that is to add sort of a deterrence effect as well of like, people are watching, there are more police officers. This is all to make that neighborhood seem safer and potentially be safer.
Who's paying for this?
This is the city taxpayer.
City taxpayer. So it's not some special assessment or whatever else. It's just out of general funds. This is something they're going to do out of general funds, and there's no approval needed from Nashville or anywhere else. They are doing this.
Depending on the allocation of funds, for example, the build out of 250 Peabody Place, the city council needs to sign off on that because there's an allocation of dollars.
I see.
But on the police officers themselves, I do not believe this. Anyone beyond the mayor needs to say go.
What, by the way, is your experience of living downtown? You mentioned you live there. In terms of safety, perception of safety, all of that.
I have not felt unsafe when I live downtown. You know, there are times where it's quiet. There are times where it's a little spooky quiet. There are times where it is loud and raucous, and there's some revelry happening, which is, you know, what will happen. And, you know, in general, it is a neighborhood. It's probably one of the safer neighborhoods in Memphis, to be quite honest with you. And it's definitely suffered on the perception front in the past year. And there have been notable incidents downtown of violence, of notable traffic incidents where people are doing donuts in the middle of the street. All these things have, you know, contributed, I think, to a sense of decay and chaos. And, like, beyond living downtown now, I've worked, you know, I largely worked downtown for the better part of my time in Memphis. And so you've definitely seen a decline. But I'll also say I feel safe there every day.
You did mention earlier, made reference to it, the numbers suggest that crime is going down downtown, yes, and elsewhere.
Yeah, the numbers suggest, at least in the downtown neighborhood, the 38103 zip code, let's say, there is a decline in crime. You know, the Memphis Police Department and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation have different means of measuring crime. And that's something we can maybe unpack in a future conversation. But there is a decline in crime. At the same time, there's been a mild decline in crime in the city. Depending on what stats you look at, it's either pretty good or just okay. And that is, you know, there's been some decline. So the fever may have broken. Let's be clear. These levels of crime in downtown and throughout the city of Memphis are much different and are not favorable to where they were in 2019 before the COVID-19.
Yeah, one of the interesting things I'm fascinated by is when the crime numbers translate to a perception, a generally accepted perception that crime is decreasing. Like right now, I'm sure there are people we're talking about this. It's a little bit like when people would tell you that inflation's under control again, right, which the numbers say that inflation is under control again, no one kind of wanted to hear that or was willing to hear that because it had been such a freaking problem and McDonald's cost $12. And so the reality, it's weirdly enough, now people are starting to think that inflation's under control. But it feels a little bit like that. There is this challenge of even when the reality changes, how does perception catch up to reality? Is that something that, and maybe that's why you need people to see people, the peak boost stuff from in the storefront, the surveillance, you need to have the perception of safety in addition to reality of at least somewhat greater safety.
Yeah. I mean, I think the city is fighting both crime and the perception of crime, right? They're fighting, you know, they're fighting a narrative of decline. They're fighting actual decline, right? Like those are two things that are, you know, connected, but different. And, yeah, I mean, people have a right to be skeptical of crime numbers and, you know, statistics. Really, they have a right to be skeptical. But also, like, crime is down, but it's down to levels that would have seemed astronomical if you look at the totality of Memphis in, you know, the grit and grind Grizzlies, right? In 2015, 2016, like, levels of crime in Memphis are much higher than they were then. We have many more ag assaults. We have many more homicides, right? On an annual basis. So, like, people can be forgiven for saying, just like 100%. With inflation, yeah, like, McDonald's costs $12. It still costs $12. Yes, great. I just saw the PCE was 2.8%. To a regular person, that does not matter.
Right. I agree completely. Okay. By the way, I was going to ask, this is not all just, this is at least, and it seemed pretty explicitly in the piece you wrote about it, which I heard people to read, it's still up there at the Daily Memphian. This is pretty explicitly tied to the Grizzlies and the extension of their lease, is it not?
Absolutely. I would say while the mayor, and briefly in the interview with me, acknowledged that the Grizzlies, you know, and we've talked about this and it's been reported, the Grizzlies want to see their neighborhood look better, okay? If they're going to be long-term dwellers in that neighborhood, they would like to see it be better. They would like it to be safer, okay? That's clear, all right? Was the mayor explicitly, you know, talking about that? No, but at the same time, his presentation, which he made to a bunch of business leaders last week and the media, okay, was all about other arena districts around the country and how they also struggle with crime.
I see.
Right? To sort of the city a sense of perspective of, hey, it's not just downtown Memphis that's had issues, right? And
we're losing Sam. We lost Sam. See, people don't want to hear the good news. No, we'll endeavor to get Sam back and talk to him about ducks and other things. But no, this is pretty explicitly connected to the Grizzlies and the desire to have the Grizzlies, you know, sign a new lease to keep them here in Memphis over the long haul. And as we've said, they've assembled the money to do what they need to do with the arena. Now the quest is to at least persuade the Grizzlies that they will be, if they sign a new lease, that they'll be signing on to a, you know, in a neighborhood that it, where it's okay to run a business for the next 20 or 30 years. I'm interested in the timing of that. Like, it doesn't feel like to me that can be known how these things will go, how they will work. Will they actually improve safety downtown? Well, the results will take a little while to come in on that. Like, check back in 5 years and let's see where the trajectory has gone. And yet, obviously, the Grizzlies have to make a decision before then. Sam,
okay,
you're back.
Where was I lost here?
You were saying that it was tied to other... The presentation, which is fascinating, was about other arena districts around the country. So it's even though... It wasn't specifically Grizzlies, 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 Grizzlies. The point was arena districts should be safe. Other arena districts have struggled. Here's what we need to do around this arena district. This is very clearly a Grizzlies-oriented project.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the Grizzlies are probably the most notable tenant of downtown. We have reported at the Daily Memphian many times they would like to see their neighborhood look better. They would obviously like to see it be safer. I don't think anyone, any entity roots for something to become more dangerous. So, yeah, it's very fair to read between the lines, if you're the public here, that these steps are, you know, steps that probably the NBA franchise would like to see. And as the city of Memphis is sitting on well more than $500 million in public money to renovate FedEx Forum, that the other things the Grizzlies might like to see are related to the neighborhood around them and the future of that neighborhood.
All right. And then finally, got a piece up about MLG and W. No rate increase, but there is this at least move afoot to at least study the possibility of moving the MLG and W offices out of downtown, because I guess that's a prime piece of real estate. Is that the idea? What's happening here?
Well, not out of downtown, out of their building.
Out of their building.
There's a difference. There is a desire, I think, to keep Memphis Light, Gas, and Water and the hundreds of employees. I don't think all 2,700 of their employees are downtown. Yeah, you want them downtown.
They didn't want to go to Cordova.
You don't want them going to Cordova. You want them eating, drinking, shopping downtown. At the same time, do you really need the utility at Main and Beale? When you have this big public utilities office building between, you know, the One Beale development and Tom Lee Park and Beale Street and FedEx Forum, or maybe that lot could become something else and say an arena district. Just the food for thought.
I see.
Memphis City Council resolution mentions that.
Mentions the possibility of an arena district.
Yes.
Interesting. Sam, may your turkey be better than you expect, and may your duck be succulent. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, Sam Hardiman.
Good luck.
From the Daily Memphian with a whole bunch of stuff today. If you are shopping, and this is the time to be shopping, we're all going to be shopping. It is an annual tradition now at Robert Irwin Jewelers, their annual Black Friday event. And by the way, you don't have to wait till Black Friday. It's going on right now. With every purchase of $299 or more, you get a free gift. So, one-fifth carat diamond hoop earrings, 10 carat white gold, stunning, beautiful hoop earrings. She'll love that. Pay $549, and here's what happens. You get a free JBL noise-canceling headphones. Or... you're going big, you're getting engaged, no better place. Jeffrey knows this, bought his ring there. Connor knows this, bought his ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You spend $4,999 or more on an engagement ring, and you get an 85-inch smart TV for free. Any purchase of $299 or more, you get a free gift. You're buying gifts that give gifts. It's perfect. It's the way to shop. Plus, of course, it's wonderful to shop at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Anyway, they've been here four decades, Memphian, making Memphians happy during the holidays. It's the annual Black Friday sale going on now. See store for details while supplies last. Five locations, Robert Irwin Jewelers, or online at rijewelers.com. Oh, Jeffrey, I was going to tell you about the turkey trot, and I'm going to tell you about Macy's Parade.
All right.
Where the turkey trot started. The turkey trot, the original turkey trot, is now the longest running, I guess would be the word, run,
running
continuous running run in this country. Older than the Boston Marathon. Older than the Boston Marathon. It's the turkey trot. Plus Macy's. I'm astounded by some information I have about the Macy's parade. All of that and more. We're back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's all gravy this weekend on FanDuel. Feast of rewards all weekend long. All customers, no sweat, same game NFL parlay to celebrate the occasion. That's right. It's Thanksgiving. All customers get a no sweat NFL same game parlay to celebrate. So you just place a three-leg same game parlay. You get bonus bets back if your bet does not win. NFL same game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You can build your own or head on over to the FanDuel app and check out one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you at FanDuel. What are you waiting for? Start your feast now with a no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's C-A-L-K-I-N-S. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. Opt-in required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max wager $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. A few things real quick. Daniel Jones has signed with the Vikings, so there is that bit of NFL news. The answer to the question, Jeffrey, it's, of course, why I ask. The oldest turkey trot in the country is the Buffalo Turkey Trot, of course, an 8K race held every year on Thanksgiving Day. First turkey trot ever. It's held in 1896 when six runners participated. Two of them dropped out along the way. Now 14,000 down Delaware Avenue in Buffalo. But there's more than 200 turkey trots across the country now. Lots of turkey trots. But the turkey trot is the longest continuous running race, foot race in the U.S. There's a race, the Bemis Forsland Pie Race in Massachusetts, is older, but not continuous. They canceled theirs during, like, maybe World War II or COVID or something.
Buffalo, War.
We just run right on, man. We just trot anyway.
Proud.
So there you go. Secondly, I was stunned. Do you realize everybody actually watches the Macy's Parade? Like, TV ratings tank for everything except the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But not for the Macy's Parade. The Macy's Parade... last year, 28 million viewership.
I mean, I still watch.
You actually watch?
I mean, like, I'm not like locked in, but yeah, it's the ultimate background noise.
It's like everything else is like is falling off a cliff.
Yeah, it's
everyone
the first thing
watches
I do. First
the
thing
Macy's
I do on,
Parade.
On Thanksgiving.
Okay, who's going to be on it? Name at least three people who you're going to see. Okay, what's the first float and what's the last float? Do you know the answer to this?
You're going to see Snoopy.
You're going to see Snoopy. That's correct. You're going to see Snoopy.
I bet you see Bluey.
It always begins with Tom Turkey and it ends with Santa.
There you go.
I didn't know that because I don't really watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You would think I'm corny enough that you'd think I would, but I don't. It's got the Rockettes.
Yeah, of course.
Al Roker.
Yes.
Snoopy.
Mm-hmm.
Santa.
Yeah.
Cynthia Erivo. Is that her name?
Sure.
Are you familiar with
not,
her work?
Do not know her work.
Cole Escola. Are you familiar with her work?
Nope.
Me either. They're going to have floats. They're going to have Snoopy. It's going to be the Macy's Parade.
Thanksgiving doesn't start until I see Snoopy.
Well, there you go. Anything? Well, you know what? I was going to say anything else you'd like to comment on. You got a whole radio show this afternoon to do all the commenting you like. What's next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Parthi Padhyay will join them from Maui. Norton Hurd will be with them as well. Kevin Cerrito will be with me. CJ Hurt will join us during hour number two. We will have George and Connor hosting Gabe's show today as well.
If again, congratulations today to Gabe on the birth of Myers. That's a great day, and thrilled for him. And if anyone tries to insult the turkey or suggest it should not be the centerpiece, I would suggest you play them Chris Harrington's 6-point defense of the turkey and settle all arguments that way. No other discussion will be needed. I'm really grateful that you all listen and that you make us a part of your community. I can't tell you how grateful I am. It's truly great fun and a privilege to do this every single day. And I hope you have a grand Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you again Monday for Now Work's Done.